I'm very late and I'm calling Ben. Calling Ben late because it's late. But I am now calling him. Oh boy. I hope he's not too mad. Probably will be all right. But we'll see by his tone of voice when he picks up. We'll wait until he picks up and then we'll
Well,
hear his tone of
hey.
voice. And hey, all right, you don't sound too mad. Sorry, Ben.
Should I be? Did you just completely forget?
No, well, not really. It's just that nothing important was really happening. I was just sort of, I made Betty some food,
You're right, that's not important.
and yeah, I basically, here's the thing. I worked from home today, so my whole routine is off. Normally, I come home from work and then I do the thing
Right.
where I call you. But yeah, I worked from home today, so it was
Convenient.
weird. Right off the bat, I just want to say I just did something that could blow up, but maybe won't. And I think it's funny. Now,
You made a bomb?
for the oh no, Ben, no. Everyone, no. No, for those of you who are listening to this and not of the same time that Ben and I are, I'm just gonna make that pretty, wide open. There is a thing called a meme. I don't think we have to describe exactly what memes are. The term meme was coined to mean just a piece of information that spread from person to person. Later on, it started referring to a very specific thing, which is a photograph with words attached to it. And one of those is something called Condescending Wonka. Condescending Wonka, a character played by Gene Wilder.
Just off
In
the
the
bat
movie,
here, I appreciate this utopian future that you are laying out for us where memes are no longer a thing.
It's really, really possible. So Gene Wilder was in a movie, which I believe was called Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
You would be
But
wrong.
it might have been Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka was the original Gene Wilder one, and Charlie in the Chocolate Factory was the one with Johnny Depp, I
Correct.
think,
Yes.
actually. Okay, good, good,
Also,
good.
the book was called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That is correct. So there's this thing where Willy Wonka's looking at you. It's a very specific picture, and people will write again, tell me again how you're so oppressed or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's Willy
Condescending Wonka.
Wonka. Yes, Condescending Wonka. He's looking at you. He's judging you for what you said. And so I made one of those, which I've never done before. I made one of those because this person was complaining that she was being told by a bunch of people that the plot to Ready Player One was original. And I made a condescending Wonka, and it was Wonka saying, "Tell me again about how the plot to Ready Player One is so original." Now, it's important to note, this is one of those comedic things where I have created a problem that I personally have not encountered. It's one of those things, how you're on the bus and some guy always asks to buy your teeth? Nobody did that, but you have a really good joke about teeth buying, and so you want to,
Yeah.
say it. In the same way, no one has ever said to me that the plot to Ready Player One is original. But the fact that it's Willy Wonka saying, "Tell me again how the plot to Ready Player One is so original," is perfect because I don't know if you know this, Ben, but the whole golden ticket idea is threaded through that movie pretty fiercely.
Oh, is it? I did not know that.
Yeah, it is true. And I think we've covered this already about how I'm confused at all the people who said they liked Ready Player One and then didn't say they ever liked it. Did I talk to you about this?
We talked about that briefly last week where it was something was like the people who liked the book, hated the movie, or vice versa. I don't remember.
No. The what it is that Gen Xers like the book, right? And now it's like later, it's like 8 years later, and the millennials are kind of more the cool kids.
Oh,
And they're
God.
like, "This book's got problems. There's some real issues with it." And so now the book's not cool anymore, which is fine, but a lot of the people who said the book was great are now, like, not talking about the book anymore.
Is there, like...
And it seems weird to me.
Just, like, casual homophobia in the book or something?
No, 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 it's not that. It's just, you know, like, hey, I'm a white kid, and all the things that Gen X boys liked, I like now, and they're really cool, and it's gonna make me win a lot of money, and, oh, this person that I thought was a dude is actually a girl, and now she's in love with me, you know, that kind of stuff.
But okay.
Sort of, people are saying that it's kind of tropey, and, you know... I think one person said, why would you make this when Scott Pilgrim already exists and is more self-aware at how geek culture is actually not great, that sort of thing. It's basically that. And somebody, and I wish I knew what his actual name was or her actual name was. I don't know their true identity. But I think it's Rowan, and again... not using my phone. I'm just doing this from memory. So, Rowan Kaiser, I believe, is this individual's name. And they posted something like that I think was important. That Gamergate happened in between those two things. And we saw how geek culture could be toxic. And so, something that just celebrates like you like something and therefore you are cool is bad.
Right.
And we didn't have that at the time that the book came out. So, interesting, I think. But we'll see. Maybe it won't go anywhere, but I thought it was funny.
Of all specifically the, because... Of all the memes and all the world, you know...
The perfect storm, if you will.
You would need that. Well, here's hoping that you get some internet points... For a meme. Yeah,
or not. You know, I'm really enjoying not having a lot of followers. it goes back to the thing that Jennifer said way back when I was on the reality show, that being a reality TV star is the worst gig because you get all the fame and none of the money. And you what you want is the money.
None of the
and
money,
the fame
huh?
without the money is difficult. Difficult.
Because all you need to do is just get a little bit more fame to get to get some money. So the famous people who have the fame but no money just try to one up it all the time.
Yeah,
hoping that one of these things will pay off.
Horrible things can happen to you in that way, because there's always people. The thing that I like the thing that, again, I call it the Stephen McCandless model. What you do is you get the money, and then you make the thing that you can with the money. You make the thing as best as you can that you can with the money. Because if you use someone else's money to make your thing, there's always a little something like holding off.
Right.
I would say AJ also Ethereal Mutts stuff is, you know what I mean, it's a self-made shop basically. So he can back, well, I guess now it's West of Lenin, right? West of Lenin is an entity.
Yes. Ethereal Mutt still exists.
That. Yeah. But West of Lenin, because it sort of calls its own shots, it can take chances and do things that are, you know, maybe people would say, well, that's not marketable. You can't do it. But they're good things, and they end up working. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Proof of concept. We did it, and people came to it, and they enjoyed it. And that's what you want. If you want, we did it, and now we, you know, don't have to work a job and can just do this thing over and over again, you run into some really strange situations. And that's all I'm going to say about that. It just, the big thing, I don't know, this whole week, Ben, a lot of my, like, I wouldn't say necessarily heroes, but, you know, people that I admire, people whose work I like and stuff like that, have been talking a lot about how they don't make a lot of money and they don't have a lot of income and stuff like that.
Yeah.
from doing their art.
Yeah.
And these are like, you know, established people who do this kind of stuff for a living.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was on Facebook recently some morning, and you're not on Facebook anymore, but maybe it still did this when you were on it. They have this thing called Facebook Live, and if somebody that you are friends with or an artist that you've liked goes live, it will just pop up a window saying, hey, this person's live, watch them. And,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it was Mike Doty who suddenly went live. So I'm like, oh, I like Mike Doty. I'll watch him play guitar in front of his iPhone for a while. And yeah, he was basically doing it to shill for his Patreon account, because it's really hard for musicians to make money these days.
Yeah,
like, Mike Doty, who's been in the business for 20 years, who has had number one hits on MTV and a pretty successful solo career, still has to beg people beg strangers for money.
That's right. I didn't want to call him out, so I'm glad you did. But he was one of the people I was thinking about.
Yeah.
He's by no means not a professional, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is that I think a lot of it, like in the 90s, early 2000s, there was this whole act as if idea. Like, hey, man, if you haven't made it, act like you made it.
Right.
And fake it till you make it. And all that kind of stuff. Say, oh, yeah, exactly. Fake it till you make it. And the problem is that a lot of young artists starting out see people faking it and go, well, that's what it is. I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
I know I kind of fell into that trap even, you know, as an adult. I thought that when I sold my first book, that would be it. You know, great. Now I sold a book, and now I'll just keep on making books, and people will keep buying my books.
Exactly.
And I'll just be a guy.
I'll be a bookmaker.
Yeah, exactly. Now I don't think that way. Now I think I will make books. And maybe people will like them and read them. And maybe after I die, they'll be good. People will like them.
Oh, goody.
I'm not saying
the Van Gogh of children's books.
Exactly. No. I only mention this because the book Mara and the Magicians, who some of our friends did a proofreading of a way long. You know, this was back in before I left, so like 2013 and all that. I'm just about getting ready to publish it through CreateSpace.
Right.
And it's one of those things of, well, you know, I did, I got stuff published like professionally. Why would I ever publish it in CreateSpace? And the reason is because no one wants to publish this book because it's not, you know, marketable. It's too confusing.
Well, there's your problem.
A general audience. No, but the thing is, I need it to be this confusing. It's the book that I want to write. I was originally going to put it in another language as well, but that...
Oh, Jesus.
let's
just make this as inaccessible as possible.
A bridge too far. So instead, what I did was... Oh, one of the things is... you remember the Arcane Secrets comics that I did a long time ago?
I do not.
Do you remember those at all?
No.
Okay, well... I'm putting them in the book also. So even if people don't like the story, there are these whimsical, old-fashioned things that they used to... Magicians used to, like put out books on, here's how you do this trick, right?
Yeah.
And so I did some fake ones of it, using the same language and stuff like that. And there's the same casual racism that they had back in the 1930s. And all that kind of stuff, which makes me a little bit worried.
Why did you keep that part?
Because it's part of the thing. And this is a great question, a very good question. Why did I keep it? Because the person who's there was a guy who did a novel that was Adolf Hitler wrote a novel, and it's a science fiction novel. I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was basically it's this sort of performance arty thing where like if you read the novel and you think that Adolf Hitler is writing this under a pseudonym, it is a brilliant thing, right? If you read it just by itself, it comes off as sort of a schlocky sci-fi
book. So you need to buy into the conceit for it to be good novel, or at least an interesting novel?
Yeah, exactly. The conceit of these comics is that I'm not the one writing them. It's some guy...
in the 30s.
With the 30s mentality. We'll just say that, because there's some stuff that is... and it's tied loosely to the book, but not entirely. So that's one thing that's a little bit interesting. But the idea is that these comics are coming sort of from the world where this is written.
Yeah, but that also... This whole thing raises an interesting point of what is better? Doing your art and staying true to your art, or capitulating on some of it and making a living?
Yeah.
Right? You want to wallow away in obscurity, but you're true to yourself, or do you want to make some extra ducats and provide for your family?
Well, and that is a question. And for me, the way that I found the balance is I provide for my family in other ways without using my art as a way to survive. That's the key, I think.
Yeah.
If you can.
Well, not everybody's going to be complacent with a day job.
Right. Well, not. And that's the thing is that, and this is true, there are some people who can't do a day job.
Yeah.
And I look at it kind of like, and I don't mean this to sound bad, because I'm not saying that artistic people have a mental illness, but it's sort of akin to, right, well, I'm not depressed, so why are you depressed, right? I am capable of holding a day job and still feeling like I'm artistically fulfilled. There are some people who doing a day job would make them want to curl up in a ball and never do anything.
Yeah.
Right? Because they are, you know, I'm a musician. I need to, this is what it is. I'm killing myself.
I can't have a day job because I got a tour, because touring is the only way musicians make money, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, in my opinion, if you're a touring musician, then that's, you know, that's your job, right?
Yeah.
But there, I'm talking more about there are people who work the same amount that I do on day jobs, but they're miserable the entire time because they're a musician. They aren't whatever it is that they're doing. And I, you know, in my older years have found a balance of I can actually do this every day and still be all right. And not feel like I'm, you know,
healthy.
I mean, and yeah, I don't mean to, again, I don't mean to disparage any of my friends in the arts who might be listening to this, but I kind of got over myself.
Don't worry. None of our friends are listening to this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I kind of got over myself in the way that, but I need to do music and have people listen to it and, you know, all that.
Right.
And then you realize, and so if you, and this is the whole Patreon thing, right? If you guys just give me this amount of money, then I can do this for a living. And you quickly learn, oh, people liked supporting me when they weren't supporting me. But if it comes down to buying a sandwich and buying my next song, they're more interested in the sandwiches or whatever. You know what I mean? You as an, and I, again, I give it as this example, new song by me, new song to Mike Dowdy, which would people want? You know what I mean?
It's also, if you think about it in terms of like fundraising for a nonprofit organization and, in relation to this, the Patreon discussion, like, mm-hmm. I have no problem, like, buying an album, right? But when you're talking about, like, giving, if everybody in this, you know, on this thread gave $5, then I can do this, you know, for a living. You're basically contributing to the capital campaign, to capital costs for that, or not that's not the right word, to operational costs.
Yeah.
Like buying the sandwich instead of buying the song. So like when you're fundraising for a nonprofit, the sexy thing is to say, we're fundraising for this specific thing. We're fundraising to do a play or to do a show. We're fundraising to do this project. People don't like giving to, we're fundraising so we can pay our rent this month.
Right, exactly. Yes. And the other thing I would say is, I know that they're not going to do this. They're not going to listen to it, whatever, but it's like someone that you like, says, hey, I've got this Patreon. And if you pay into it, you'll get to read a chapter of my new book every month.
Yeah.
That actually, you know, works a little bit better, I think. Right? But still, in that sort of paradigm, that sort of thing, it's got to be someone like, here's the thing, right? George R. R. Martin, a Game of Thrones guy, right?
Yeah.
If he said, hey, I've got this Patreon, and if you pay to it, you can read a new chapter every month, I would really honestly go, I don't know... I don't know if I want to pay that. I don't know. Like, I'll give you... Jorodowski, he's a director. I really like him. They're crowdfunding his next film.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
The same thing happened... You know, the same thing happened with Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk. They crowdsourced a TV show. And, you know, my initial reaction... This happens when stars... And, you know, I'll call Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk stars. You know, they're not like...
Oh, yeah, they're stars.
D-list
definitely.
Celebrities. They, you know... But when stars who... It appears that they have money, are asking for money to do their... To do art where they can make more money. I look askance at that. I'm like, you have more money now than you probably know what to do with. Self-fund your art. But, you know, but... The thing is, they have this fan base that will contribute. They made their goals. So part of me is like, well, you can, so why not?
Well, and that's the other thing is that, and there's the money that they make from it, right? And then there's the fact that they're also making it with their fans' money, so they're not beholden to
producers,
you know,
or the
producers,
network,
right? And as we've learned, you know, some producers are creeps. And so having to, I don't know exactly, you know, you hear people who make jokes a lot about, now granted, I don't go to drug deals, so I don't know exactly, but there's a joke about the people who have to hang out with their drug dealer and listen to them play guitar and pretend like they like,
anyway, here's Wonderwall,
you know, their music. Yeah, exactly. the thing is that, I feel sometimes that for some directors, dealing with producers is kind of like that. And the reason I know that is because I've heard Kevin Smith talk about dealing with producers before.
Right.
So, and maybe that's where I got that analogy in the first place, now that I think about it. But you know, the whole thing of this is a thing that you have to do to get your movie made. So if you don't have to do that, if you just get the money from the people that are actually, you know, going to consume the thing... You know, I get it. Maybe it's good.
There was a while there where a number of movie stars or TV stars were crowdsourcing funds for their next project, and I was just like, why? I mean, yes, you can. So why not? But why?
Well, if you think about it,
you know, I was free to not give to it. So there you go.
Yeah, but like, think about it. The guy from Scrubs, can't remember his name. He was one of the ones.
Yeah, that dude.
Zach Braff. People, here's the thing. People liked Zach Braff before he started his campaign, and then they didn't like him as much afterwards.
That's right.
You know, so you're paying a little bit of... It's funny. I wonder if Zach Braff had become a spokesperson for Pepsi... Instead of doing his crowdfunding campaign, would people have respected him more or less afterwards?
I think it all depends on where you fall on the Bill Hicks scale of celebrity endorsements.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Oh, hey, by the way, my leg, you know how it's been weird? I went to a trampoline park and jumped up and down for a little while, and it didn't hurt that much. So I think I'm getting back on the mend.
Oh, I see. So you went with the trampoline method of healing.
Yeah. Well, no. It was feeling better already. I'll put that out there. Okay. Feeling better already.
So, note to our listeners, if your leg hurts, don't automatically just go jump on a trampoline.
Now, here's the thing, right? Next week, we have a podcast. The week after that is when I'm going to be in Florida doing the vacation thing.
Yeah, see, I was going to ask you about that because I remember...
What did we figure out?
I remember you bringing up that you were going to be gone, but I forgot when you were going to be gone. So...
So not next week, but the week after that.
Right. So, like, next week, let's just record, two, or we can just split one into... half-hour episodes?
We could have a little marathon. That would be all right. I wouldn't mind. Probably there'll be something for us to talk about.
So you're going to Florida, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say that?
I don't think so.
The last time?
You're usually pretty cagey about your plans.
Oh, nuts. Yeah, that's where we're headed. We're going to go to Florida. Because we appreciate the I can't even do it.
What are you talking about?
Oh, right after we paid for all the stuff and booked all the things, the kids who were at the Florida massacre thing posted a thing saying that to show solidarity you could not go to Florida for vacation until they pass sensible gun legislation.
Oh, I didn't realize that was one of their talking points.
I was like, oh, no.
Something else just today, actually, in fact, just hours ago, something else really terrible happened in Florida.
The college bridge
collapsed? Yes, this bridge under construction collapsed, and they're saying maybe 6 people died.
Was it under construction or was it just finished?
It was under construction. It wasn't scheduled to be completed for until the end of the year.
So the people who were on there were making the bridge go. They were building. No. They were construction people.
No construction. I have not heard of any construction workers who were hurt or killed. The people I heard who were killed were in their cars underneath the bridge.
Oh,
because
the
bridge was still over, even though it was under construction, it was over an active roadway. And here's a terrible thing I just read. Rumor has come out that they were conducting a stress test on the bridge.
Oh.
And yet they still had the roadway open underneath. So,
that's no good.
A team of contractors or a team of engineers somewhere are just sweating bullets right now.
I wish I could remember. Recently, it was either an awareness day or something for... someone who was a stunt person or maybe they were just a crew member. They might have just been a crew member on a film that was about trains.
Okay.
And the producers had asked them if they could shut down the trains so that they could film on the tracks.
Right.
And the producers said no. I'm not the producer, sorry. The company said no.
Yeah.
And then the producers decided just to film anyway.
Yeah.
And told the crew that they had gotten the permits.
Yeah.
Somebody died.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it was like a first assistant director who died because they were filming on the train tracks or on a bridge, on a trestle.
That's right.
And couldn't get off in time. And this poor gal could not get off in time. And a terrible thing has happened. I know people who knew her. Because she was, I don't know if that was a local production company, but I do remember when that whole story came out that some people that I know who work in the local film industry were really shocked and heartbroken.
And it's one of those things the reason I was thinking about it is because it's one of those things, safety could have prevented that, maybe.
Right.
It's like
we gotta get the shot now.
Well, like around here, there's a construction company that was doing some work, and they didn't have a flagger at all, right?
Yeah.
To you know, the stop go people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was driving by it, and I was like, oh, they really should have one of those guys out there. And then when I was coming back, there were police cars, and somebody had gotten hit.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, they were coming down. There was somebody on a bicycle coming down.
Yeah.
And somebody else passed the thing and hit the bicyclist.
I almost walked. I almost walked into a manhole the other day.
Well, Ben.
Well, I was coming back from. I think I was coming back from a show. We closed Bury Me Under I-5 last weekend, and so it's late at night. And I'm walking down. I'm walking down Howell Street, and they're doing a lot of construction in the road. Like, you know, they've dug trenches in the road, so they've narrowed the roadway. It's normally a 3-lane road. They've narrowed it down to 1 lane. But this is like at 10:30 at night, so there's not that much traffic.
Yeah.
But they have all the lights, and they have all the they have a flagger there, and they got it's loud because of the generators and the backhoes and all the stuff that's happening. So I'm walking down the sidewalk.
Oh no.
And
yeah.
And I'm like I'm looking at the construction because I'm like, oh, construction, that's pretty cool. What are they doing? And I just happened, like, I looked forward. Like, I finally looked where I was walking at the right minute. And there's a manhole cover that's open. And there's a dude in there. And they're like feeding a wire or a cable or something between this manhole in the sidewalk and the one in the road. And but there were no lights on it. And there was no like orange cones anywhere. It was just a dude sitting. It's not even a manhole. It's like it was bigger than that. It was like a proper hole in the sidewalk. So I immediately like jumped out of the way once I realized I was about to step into it. But I'm like, yeah. For the rest of the walk to my apartment, I'm like, that could have really ruined my week.
Can I tell you something else?
What's that?
Let me ask you a question. Was there a dude outside of that hole?
No, there wasn't.
Okay.
I did see
regulations.
I saw a helmet.
If that guy that thing is called a vault, right?
A vault, okay.
If there's a guy standing in there, there's supposed to be a guy outside too, testing the air to make sure everything's cool and all that. So
yeah. So
that's the other reason. Keep people from walking in. Yeah, if you had fallen in there and gotten injured, that whole company would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking about that whole trouble company being in.
What?
Starting over. speaking about, I just did something wrong, Ben. Speaking about doing things wrong, it's time for us to do a little thing that we call corrections. Corrections.
Ding.
Ding. Okay, so as I actually took to Twitter to explain for the first time in a long time, or maybe ever.
Yeah, you did some marketing recently. Really,
yeah, I really don't talk about this podcast a lot to people. Although I found out some people at work listen to this every once in a while.
Oh, no.
Which is weird. But I guess they can if they want to.
It is freely available on the internets.
It is. There is a chance, a slim chance, but we should check, Ben, to see if there's an uptick, because I talked about the podcast on Twitter, which I hardly ever do, because I like to keep this a secret. Oh, did you see that Joe Garden liked the fact that I stated that this was made specifically for him to hate?
I did. I did see that.
It's true. It didn't start out as that, but as we started to shape it a little bit more, I was like, hey... Because he listed a couple things he hated about podcasts. And so right. I was like, earlier today, I said to someone, the reason why trolls are, this was Casey Saint-Ange, who stated that, in her opinion, trolls are lonely. And my answer to that is yes. And here's the thing. If you have a hard time making friends and doing the human interaction that gets people to like you, one way to feel better is to intentionally make people dislike you, because then you've actually accomplished some social interaction with an outcome that you wanted. Anyway, the point being, can we have a podcast people like? I don't know, but we can definitely get one that Joe won't like. And so that's kind of how I decided to do it. But of course, you can't go too long without some form of a premise forming. And the form of a premise that we have is that this entire podcast, yes, it might sound like two old friends talking, but it's also about not looking things up on the internet. We never look up any of the stuff we talk about. We have sent out a call to people to please send us questions for us to answer. No one ever does, but that's really what the podcast is supposed to be about. However, there is a silver lining, and that's that even though we're not answering questions, we still get things wrong all the time. And that's when we open it up to you, the listener, to write to us and tell us what we did wrong, and then we will issue them in the form of corrections. That is the bit we're on now, and my wife, Jennifer Pratt, often writes in with corrections, and she informed me that she had, in fact, submitted some today. Ben, have I vamped enough for you to pull up
the
corrections?
Yeah, you have. In fact, there was more than enough time I was able to look up our stats. I didn't see any uptick in downloads, but on average, we have about 35 subscribers to the show.
Hey.
Now, that's not saying that 35 people listen to every episode. It's just that...
Well, one of those is me, and I can tell you I don't listen to every episode.
two of those is me, because I subscribe both on my home computer and on my work computer, you know, for QA purposes.
32 people potentially might be listening to this. Yeah. That's great.
Potentially.
And thank you if you do. And if you don't, hey, I can't say anything to you because you're not listening, and Ben would bleep it out if I did.
I probably would.
Hey! So, so we have some corrections. And were there any corrections or questions from anyone other than Jennifer Pratt?
No, it was only Jennifer Pratt.
Hey, but we like Jennifer Pratt. In fact, Ben, I will say this to you. I love Jennifer Pratt.
Well, I should hope so, seeing as how she is your wife and the mother of your daughter.
Indeed. So, let's get into it. What corrections do we have?
All right. Well, we were talking about, I had brought up the fact that when I, when the places call is given, when you're backstage, I immediately have to use the bathroom just because I called it an autonomic response, and I likened it to the fight or flight response that I thought African, you know, I thought went back to like pre-civilization days and how African Bushmen were must have felt when they were confronted with a lion chasing them.
Yes.
So, boy, am I told.
And I think I mentioned that maybe it's because like how frogs pee on you when you pick them up.
She says, the parasympathetic system is what makes you want to urinate when you get nervous, or poop, or vomit. The parasympathetic system is part of the autonomic system. So, in that regard, I guess I was right.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible that African Bushmen crap themselves when confronted by a predator, but I don't think so. It's far more likely they piss themselves.
Okay,
so
well, that's...
African Bushmen do not hunt lions. That would be stupid. They avoid lions. I probably said when they're hunting lions, but maybe I said if they were hunting and they were approached by a lion.
Oh, okay. Well, now that I can understand is a little different.
There are dogs called Basenjis that were bred...
Basenjis
that were bred to alert their humans about predators. They are silent until they're not, and when they're not, it's a big deal. They have little to no scent, so a predator would have a hard time following the dog back to its people. Anyway, the African...
Yeah, Basenji would be the kind of dog that maybe I would like, because
they don't smell.
All the dogs I like are old dogs.
Yeah.
That don't bark as much.
Anyway, the African Bushmen hunt omnivores and herbivores, mostly oryx and other large antelope species, wildebeest, warthogs, smaller game like birds. Everything else is either foraged or grown. And finally, most animals go to is either is to either urinate or defecate on their attacker. And I'm cleaning this up. I would want you to know the language. It is,
oh, sure.
It is the first line and sometimes the only line of defense. Yet even apex predators hate getting feces in their mouth and eyes. And that actually brings me to something that I thought I was going to... I may or may not have mentioned last week when we were talking about this, but one of the things I heard is that when they're teaching self-defense classes aimed primarily at women, one of the things that I heard that they say is if you're being attacked and you feel that either your life is in danger or you're going to be raped, urinate on yourself or try to vomit on your attacker, and that will steer them off.
I could see that would work. I have heard, in fact, somebody, like a guy's going to get arrested, and he pooped on himself and smeared it all over him, and he didn't get arrested.
Are you sure you're not talking about Ted Nugent trying to get out of the Vietnam draft?
I am positive. This was in News of the Weird. I remember it was a book.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in the United States where it happened.
Because that's what people say Ted Nugent did. So he wouldn't be drafted.
Oh, that's possible.
He started talking crazy and started crapping himself.
Well, you know, and I guess why stop there? I'm kidding, everybody. Hey.
Anyway, that is it for corrections.
Wait, that was it?
That was all.
Oh, man. All right.
We got everything else right. Deal with it.
All right, fine, I guess. I just like, I don't know. I love it when Jennifer tells me things. I learn a lot. Just in general. And the thing is, and she will attest to this, when I ask her about something she doesn't know about and she goes, "I don't know," I get like mad. I'm like, "What do you mean you don't know?"
You get mad.
Like, pissy or salty or whatever. I'm just like...
But you're supposed to know
everything.
Because
she knows so much, right, that for a little bit I have to get over this thing where I think that she's just withholding information from me. And she's like, "No, seriously, dude, look it up. I don't know." That kind of thing. So
look it up.
It's interesting.
Use the Google.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I came pretty strong out of the gate with my Ready Player One Willy Wonka thing. Betty and I think I might have mentioned this. Betty and I got a chance to go to a police station.
Sometimes when people say they got a chance to go to a police station, that's not how the story starts.
No, it's just that every once in a while for my job, you have to do some certain things. And one of the things is I have to have fingerprints on file. I haven't had fingerprints on file for a while.
Yeah.
Fingerprints on file for a while. That's interesting. So we went to the police station. And Betty got to see a dispatcher take a 911 call.
Oh, really?
And how it works. Yeah, it was kind of interesting.
Your police dispatchers take 911 calls over there?
Yep. Yeah. Wait.
Because
I
believe the way it works here is there are 911 centers, and then the 911 call taker notifies the police or the fire department or the ambulances, which is part of the fire department. So,
well, it works the same way, except that at least here, the person taking the calls are the police. But the call that we saw, right, they took the call and then they dispatched a fire truck and an ambulance to somebody's house.
There was an ambulance and a police car outside of my apartment building today when I left. I saw the flashing lights reflected off the window across the street from me, and I looked down. I'm like, oh, there's a police car and two ambulances. And I saw them loading the, it's not a gurney, but it's the bed on wheels that they use. And then I got ready for work, and I walked out of my apartment, and I walked over to the elevators, and everybody walked off the elevator on my floor. So somebody on my floor had to call 911.
Oh, wow.
But I did not stick around to see who it was. I was respecting their privacy or what had happened.
Yes.
I got on the elevator and went down to the lobby.
Were you in the car when Steven hit the side of that apartment building? I think you were.
Yeah, I was in there.
Yeah. How everyone just kept on. Like, what I remember is we ran into a wall, and then all of a sudden there were all these people, and then I realized, oh, these are the people that were inside that building.
It was a motel.
Oh yeah. And it must have sounded like a bomb went off or something. I don't know for sure, but I would think, right?
It's funny. I that used to be on my way home, and I think we were actually going to my house when that happened.
I believe we were.
But I drove by there a couple days ago because I was heading to Ballard, and every time I pass that little corner, I think about that one time when the brakes went out. On his car, and we rolled over a stop sign and into the side of this rock wall.
Yeah. And the thing is that Steven is a good driver. He's a really good driver. And so I didn't realize at first that the brakes had gone out. I thought he was just taking the corner really fast.
Well, there's also probably that.
Well, no, but he had taken the car. He had just driven on a long trip, I think, to somebody's. Well, this is now getting into personal people's stuff, but the person he was dating at the time, he went to a reunion of some sort, I think. With that person, and then came back.
And oh, with that happened, car, so...
Yeah, exactly. So it had been driven and maybe past its ability to cope, I guess.
Probably. Who knows?
You could say.
But the PS of that story, everybody was okay. There was no damage to the building. It was just super embarrassing.
Exactly, yes. Oh, speaking about which, well, not really, but the PT Cruiser that we have is dead.
Oh yeah, I saw that on Twitter. More. Is that your daily driver, the PT Cruiser?
No, that's the one that Jennifer drives. But still,
curses. So you blew a head gasket, huh?
Yeah, and then we tried to fix it. And it made it worse, maybe.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I've had this happen to cars before. Yeah. When the mechanic says you blew a head gasket or your head gasket needs to be replaced, it's nothing that you can fix at home with a bottle of something you buy at an auto parts store. That is an expensive repair.
Yeah. It is. And also, this is the thing that my dad told me afterwards. And I mean, we had already reached this conclusion. And by that, I mean Jennifer's already reached this conclusion and has told me. But yeah, if the head gasket's bad, that's great. But if your engine's been overheating a lot,
yeah,
there are other issues that. You know, even if you get that fixed, there might be other things.
Was your car, like, when it was running, was there white plumes of smoke coming from the tailpipe?
Jennifer had mentioned that is moisture or something, but yeah, I believe so.
It's, I had that happen. Maybe you remember this when we were rehearsing ATF, my little blue Mazda blew a head gasket because I had accidentally let it overheat. And by accidentally, I mean, I'm driving down the freeway and, a hose blew, one of my radiator hoses ruptured.
Uh-huh.
And I basically just lost all of my, radiator fluid, all of my coolant in the span of like 3 to 5 minutes. And when I finally notice the temperature light or the temperature of the car, Yeah. It was too late. The car just died on the freeway. And so I had I'm putting this in quotes, fixed. But ever since then, when I drove it, I didn't have the head gasket replaced, but the head was cracked. And every time I drove it, it would A, overheat constantly, and B, there was like large white plumes of smoke coming out of the tailpipe, which was apparently the coolant, which was getting getting into the engine. And now, you know, if looking at my car, someone from today, if they saw my car do this, they would be like, "We get it, man, you vape." Just because these thick white plumes of smoke, which didn't smell like strawberries at the time, it smelled like coolant.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, have I talked to you about the phenomenon of blowing coal?
Blowing coal.
Did I mention this on the podcast?
Is that a euphemism for getting sick?
No. There's a thing, blowing coal, COAL, that folks do around here. It's a modification that you can make to your diesel truck, whatever.
Yeah, it's also called like a coal rolling.
Yeah. Where you can make big black plumes of smoke come out of a pipe on your truck. And people like will cheer and be like, "Yeah,
I have seen that." It's like the context with which I saw it was a redneck's way of pissing off a bicyclist. Yeah. And you see this giant like pickup truck that's been jacked up, and it's got like the semi-truck exhaust pipes hanging out the back of the bed.
Yep. That's right.
I don't know what they do specifically to coal roll it at that moment, but you see this truck driving by this bicyclist on the side of this road, and all of a sudden it's just thick plumes of black smoke come out from the truck.
Yep. And here's the thing I was thinking about this. If that had happened when I was a kid growing up, I would have been like, "That is so cool."
Yeah, I know,
right?
Me too.
Now, as an adult, I'm like, "Oh, man.
A of all, you're being jerk. And B of all, what do you think?" That's not good for the environment.
But, speaking about not good for the environment. Hey, Betty!
Oh, God.
This is a...
Hi!
This is a thing that we like to call calling for Betty!
Yelling for Betty is what it's called.
Yeah. So,
or it used to be called shouting for Betty. I can't remember what I eventually started
there
calling
is,
it.
I think we call it yelling now for sure, though. So there is something we have to get to the bottom of. As you know, Ben, Wednesday there was a walkout that kids did.
Yeah.
A
national school walkout in response to gun safety measures.
And Betty was told by her mom and I that we would support her if she decided to walk out. To which she replied, and I quote, "Protesting is for nerds."
Does Betty not consider herself a nerd?
And that's what I... Well, this is my question. Betty, do you consider yourself a nerd?
Yes.
Okay. It's been settled.
All right, so I missed that. What did she say?
She said yes.
Okay.
And she said yes in the smallest, cutest, meekest way possible.
What a nerd.
But Betty did not walk out. And when I asked her why, she was like, "Well, we were thinking about it, and then we didn't."
I wasn't thinking about it. Some other people were.
Oh, okay. So you were never thinking about it.
No, I didn't want to.
Did other kids in her school walk out?
Did other kids in the school, maybe not in your class, but kids in the school?
Yes.
Did any of your friends do it?
I don't know. I might ask them.
Uh-huh.
Did...
She doesn't know. She might ask them.
Was the walkout sanctioned by school administration?
was it sanctioned by the school administration?
I don't know what
Like, did the school say you'd get in trouble if you did it?
Yeah.
Or did they say that you were cool to do it?
I didn't ask them.
Well, because you weren't planning on doing it anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
We never had anything like this when I was a kid. No big protests like this. But I can imagine. I grew up in a really conservative part of the state, and so I would imagine that my teachers would be like, "Do not walk out. We are going through this lesson plan today. Do not walk out."
Yeah, I think that they would probably do that. I know that when I was in high school, Betty.
Oh no, I'm slipping away.
Oh no, Betty's falling. Betty, come back. Okay, Betty's now under the bed.
Not under the bed.
Oh, she's on the side of the bed. Oh, Betty is gone. I can't see her anymore.
All right.
Okay, now I'm under the bed.
Okay, now she's under
the bed. In the great words of Hall & Oates, she's gone.
Oh, is that something they did?
It is a song.
She's Gone Away is a Nine Inch Nails song, which is from Twin Peaks, actually. It's on the Twin Peaks soundtrack. Betty is totally under the bed. Hey, Betty, watch out for that support beam under there. I don't want to fall on you.
Watch out for that support beam over there.
I can't watch out for the support. You're the one under the bed. Ben, with this thing that happened in Florida with the bridge, I'm sitting on top. You know what? I'm going to get off of the bed. No. Okay. She's coming out the other side. So, Betty.
What?
Is there anything that you would protest for?
You're wrong.
You would protest for my mom?
Apples.
Okay, she's just naming things now. You would protest for apples?
Yes.
I don't think you would. I really don't.
But what if there's no more apples? What to there for?
Oh, if there were... Okay, so Betty is positing that if there was a tariff on apples... she would be upset enough that she would protest. Possible.
I'm almost done.
Which is... Oh, who's that?
It's me.
Who's that?
Oh, Ian Johnston just popped his head into the theater.
Oh, is he there? Put him on.
No, he walked back out.
Oh, man.
They're about to make some noise.
I think that guy.
I think they're working on something here in the theater, and so they're about to make some noise.
Gotcha. Ian is a cool guy.
I told them they were free to make noise.
He is... Ian is very helpful, and he is... I don't know. Ian and John. John DeShazo.
Yeah.
Both very helpful, handy boys. So, Betty's back. Back again. Look, she's totally... Totally invading my space now.
How dare she?
Which is fine. It appears that she is hugging me. I do not know if this is actually what's happening, but it seems to be what she is doing. So, Betty, let me ask you another question. When you were 18, if the choice was yours, would you move out or would you stay in the house, at least right now, as your 12-year-old self? I think she's thinking, but she might be asleep.
Sounds like a big decision that she has to make.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, you don't have to worry about it, because you're 12, and you have to be here.
You have 6 years to decide on, you know, if you're going to go to college and where.
That's right. Oh, speaking about which also, Betty has to read a novel.
A novel?
And Betty, what novel did you pick?
It's a novel called Wonder.
It's called Wonder, and I wonder what it's about.
Boo.
Betty? Mm-hmm. What's Wonder about?
Oh, this one kid told me it was about somebody with, like, weird face problems.
It's a kid with weird face problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting. Me, when I was Betty's age, I wouldn't read anything that wasn't science fiction. It is true. Science fiction or fantasy. If it wasn't that, I wouldn't read it.
How very closed-minded of you.
I was very closed-minded, it is true. I only had a few things I liked to eat. Oh, speak about which, Ben. You'll be happy to know, I got some peppermint vegan marshmallows. And they are now finally stale enough for me to eat.
You only eat marshmallows when they're stale?
It's a texture thing. Oh, stale marshmallows are so much better than regular marshmallows. God.
Marshmallows in any form are disgusting, I feel.
They're good for throwing. That's about it, really. Hey, this is a little trivia thing for people. Ben and I used to throw candy, and we still did every once in a while, but one of the things we were worried about was that candy can actually hurt if you throw it hard enough.
Right.
That's why we started dealing with marshmallows instead, specifically because it was softer.
It was softer.
And therefore wouldn't hurt as much.
Yeah, so marshmallows were actually played a very big part in our onstage performance art, but to truth be told, I hated them.
Yeah, Ben hates marshmallows. It's true.
I can eat maybe
one.
Like them.
They're pretty cool.
That's it.
They're pretty good after you microwave them.
Oh, yeah. Betty and I both microwave marshmallows also. They blow up a little bit.
So you're...
So
you and Betty are a fan of the s'mores, then?
Betty, do we like s'mores?
They're all right.
They're all right.
They're all right.
Yeah, I'm with her on that.
You know, when I was, around, like, Halloween, we went to a farm, and these guys shot some candy out of a cannon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we got some, and this one little guy didn't get any, so I just put one in his bag and was like, there you go,
that was nice.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And did you hear what she said? They shot this candy out of a cannon, and then the kids ran to get it. Until it happened, I didn't know what they were gonna do with it. And again, I am once again on the whole gun debate thing. I think that everything, in moderation. I think pumpkin cannons are probably gonna be okay for me. No matter what. If a pumpkin cannon massacre happens, though, I'm going to be mad.
And the government's going to come and take all of your pumpkin cannons away.
You know.
That's right. What is it, babe?
You know, in my eyes, I don't think they should all out ban guns. I think they should just make their security a bit more, well, secure.
The security around guns or the security?
Yeah, the security around guns.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked about, in fact, I hate to, Ben, you know how we sometimes solve things. I hate to solve the whole gun debate here.
Oh, let's do it. Why not?
But some of the gun owners that I know, right, some of whom own AR-15s and all that, are totally for, and I repeat this, totally for mandatory lessons and licensing for people to carry guns.
It's only prudent.
Yeah. And so that's something that
reasonable.
That I think most people think are reasonable.
Yeah.
And again, here's this thing that I know that we talked about this before, but in Illinois, you can't just go out and buy a gun. For carrying around, anyway, concealed carry and all that.
Yeah.
In Missouri, the laws are laxer. But if you have a license in Illinois, you can carry it in Missouri, but you can't go from Missouri to Illinois because Illinois' laws are tighter.
Right, yeah.
And again, it's one of those things where people are like, gun laws didn't work in Chicago. Well... there are these things called other states that people in Chicago go through. So who knows? But anyway,
honestly, this is the thing, is that as long as rural people and city people have a way to go back and forth, you're not going to solve the problem with regulation, which is why, Ben, we need walls around all major cities. And that is one to grow on.
And on that...
No, I'm serious. Yeah, exactly. All right, force fields, Ben.
We need to build force a fields. Wall.
Oh, Betty. We'll build a wall, don't worry.
Yay, so I see she's pro-wall.
Ben, it was so good talking to you. It's so weird, like, just how sleepy Betty is now and how calm everything is. I think now is a great way to end the podcast.
To end the show for today.
Just a little, yeah, a little tiny keep it wrong.
All right.
Keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong.
Okay, talk to you later,
All right,
Ben.
Take care. I'll talk to you later.